Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective. This is supposedly a Western Conference preview, but I really don't know how it's going to go. To be honest with you, I don't really like previews.
But you don't like predictions either.
No, I don't like predictions. I don't like previews.
Do you like over-unders?
I'll listen to them.
I feel like you like predictions as long as you can't be proven wrong, as long as there's somebody else's predictions.
No, I just don't like the concept. I think we should embrace that we don't know. I think a prediction's like a, you know what, everybody's got one.
Brian, it's been a while. Can you introduce everyone?
Yes, I will get there, Andrew Hahn. You know, he's already, the season is just beginning. He's already a taskmaster. We're in Los Angeles today. We have a big meeting on here. There's going to be some period of time before this runs, and it's possible like Jimmy Butler could get traded. So I don't know how fresh all these takes will be, but we have our big meeting. And this year the meeting moved, like LeBron, to Los Angeles. LeBron, like LeBron and Dave McMenamin, the meeting, our annual meeting, moved to Los Angeles. Dave McMenamin is here. He now covers the Lakers. I don't know if you all heard that, but this is the announcement that you're now covering the Lakers. Over here, we have Michael Corleone Wright, which I just want to just call you Michael Corleone.
You can do that.
So great. Michael Corleone Wright, coming in from San Antonio. Our Spurs writer, but, you know, we're talking about the West, allegedly. And over in the corner, he's in the corner where he belongs, our Texas man extraordinaire, wearing a shirt that says Texas Forever, is Band
McMahon. On brand.
I got Texas blood as thick as mud. I'm Band McMahon.
Dum-dum. Oh, my God.
Dave, you moved to the Western Conference.
Yeah, came back. 6 years with the West, fourth East, back to the West.
It felt like six in the East.
Last season felt like six.
So what are you expecting from your move back West here?
I'm expecting to see a lot of celebrities at Staples Center, perhaps even some from my favorite television shows, which is always a nice little perk of the job. But no, for real, I expect a wild season for the Lakers, not unlike the Miami Heat's first season together with the Big Three, not unlike the 2014-2015 Cavaliers.
That was a fun ride when they were 19-20.
I mean, not unlike last season's Cavaliers, really, with a team that was kind of thrown together.
If the Lakers are as good as last season's Cavs, they'll be doing backflips down Figueroa.
Well, last season's Cavs weren't real good before the trade deadline, though.
They're going to be better than the Lakers.
Sure, but at least there was some thread of familiarity in that locker room, as much they had so much turnover from 2017 to 2018, there was some thread of familiarity. This Lakers group is like going to a bus stop, grabbing all the people waiting for the bus, give them all the same uniform and say, okay, now play together.
I mean, the familiarity is with the baby Lakers, the young kids. And then to me, obviously, there's all kinds of questions, you know, with how does Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, you know, Rajon Rondo, you know, all these Michael Beasley, all these characters who are kind of, like you said, the bus stop guys kind of fit in here. But what's going to be really fascinating to me is how do the guys who are kind of the young core the Lakers were sort of building around fit with LeBron, and will it be a long-term fit, or are some of these guys who obviously are trade assets moved at some point during the season? Or
how many different teammates you think LeBron? I think the numbers are in the 8-year run, I think he's had like over 60 teammates.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So you should tell the Lakers guys that.
Rent.
Yeah. Plus, you catch all of them, almost all of them are on 1-year contracts.
Yeah. Oakwood temporary housing apartments. Go look at that.
I mean, that's where you're hanging out these days?
I have stayed in there before when I first moved to LA in 2008. But I think there is a reason for optimism outside of LeBron James, and that is the need from everyone in the organization top down, which much like the Cavs in 14-15, to make this work. Because if it doesn't, people get traded, people lose their job. There's a motivation there. If you like Los Angeles, do everything you can to stay in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but the difference between I know we're going to be hearing comparisons between the Heat and the Cavs. Cavs 14, Heat 10. Right. Those teams were loaded. Mm-hmm. Granted, there was unfamiliarity. Those were championship-level talent teams.
Right, they're proven all-stars in their prime. next to LeBron.
For sure.
Sure.
And that is not the case.
Well,
now,
they had two players. I mean, beyond that, they weren't loaded. An old Sean Marion, an old Brendan Haywood, an old Mike Miller. I mean, 14, 15 Cavs were not loaded.
Well, when you have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love plus LeBron, like you said, there's a proven in their prime.
Excuse me, sir. Matthew Dellavedova is on that team.
There you go. There you go. They are counting on their recent high lottery picks to make leaps. But then the question
is, that may not be wrong. That may happen.
But, you know, with Brandon Ingram, who definitely made drastic improvement last year, you could see glimpses of
had a great second half
of star potential. He's really been at his best as a point forward. How does that fit with the best point forward we've ever seen?
Dave, let's just be real clear here. Who are the Lakers' five best players? Let's start with number one.
LeBron. Ingram.
Okay. Keep going.
Then I go Kuzma.
Okay.
Then I go Lonzo.
Okay.
And then maybe Rondo. I go Lance Stephenson.
Over Rondo?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Michael?
I would go Rondo, but that's just me.
And I'd say Josh Hart over Lance Stephenson.
Okay, but my point is there, we have no center in that mix, and we only have reluctant power forwards.
Well, there aren't many teams out there with a center in their top five players on their roster.
Oh,
I mean, hey, they do
I don't know
a,
about that. Most of them play in the West.
Hold on. They do have a two-time champion center.
More than 10 out of 30 teams in the league have one of their five best players being a center?
Let's just think of an average week in the Western Conference, okay? I'm not even talking about, you know, opening week where they load up the games. Let's say, and I don't have the Lakers schedule in front of me, but let's just take an average week in the West. Let's say you play Utah on Tuesday, Denver on Thursday. That's a standard road trip. And you play Oklahoma City on Saturday. Those are all playoff contenders. Those are not – none of those teams in my mind are the top three in the West.
Correct.
Well, Utah and Oklahoma City are. No, they're top two, okay?
Utah could be, but yeah, go ahead.
You know, Houston with Capella.
Steven Adams, Rudy Gobert. I mean, not that, you know
– Jokic.
Jokic, obviously. Hell, Nurkic is going to play a lot, you know, for if you play Portland. You know, eventually you might have to play the Warriors with DeMarcus. Hell, who's going to guard DeAndre Ayton? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like
Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, if you want to, you know, call him what he is, which is
that's
which
just
is a center.
We're just talking about hanging out in the West here.
Sure.
Marcus Gasol.
But, I mean, you have – I'm not saying JaVale McGee's the answer to everything, but he can play 25 minutes.
I know, but what I'm saying is for you to put your best – guys in the fourth for the Lakers, you're going to have trouble. I think, but you know, I also think it's just to be fair, I don't think we should look at the Lakers roster today and say this is the team.
Agreed.
Because we saw that change with the Cavs and we saw the change with, and I don't know, by the time this podcast app runs, I mean, Jimmy Butler could be a Laker. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not ruling anything out. All right, let's move to some of the other high profile teams. Let's go up the coast to Golden State. You know, they lost some, you know, they retrofitted their bench a little bit because some of their guys retired. But essentially, this is the same team coming back, plus DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, they swapped out Zaza and JaVale McGee and got, coming off an Achilles, DeMarcus Cousins, but still Boogie.
Right. Nick Young's out the door. their core is back. The Cavs are no longer a factor. Not that they were having much problem with the Cavs, but the Cavs are no longer a factor. The Rockets are a little bit weakened. We'll talk about them in a second. It's a good time to be the Warriors, man. I mean, you know, I know that we're talking about the intrigue in the West, but their grip on things only got tighter as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you, but I think for me, the factor with them is, you know, does this become old hat at some point? I mean, you know, it would be hard to maintain that edge, you know, with that, given all the success they've had. And, you know, I think the Rockets being what they are sort of kind of stokes their fire, stokes that motivation to keep on, you know, winning championships.
And Kawhi left, by the way, too.
Yeah, that too. That helps.
That helps. And look, Michael, real quick, 30-second timeout. Do you think if Kawhi hadn't sprained his ankle on Zaza's foot, do you honestly think that the Spurs could have won that series?
Oh, that's a good one.
2 years ago.
Yes, I know. 2016, 17. I think they had a legit shot. I know the Spurs went into it feeling like they could compete. They didn't go into it like, you know, hey, we're going to lay down and let them roll over us. But you know what? I think part of the Spurs felt they didn't have a shot. If you remember that pregame presser, were you there?
No.
Well, you know how Pop, when he gets to joking around, everything's funny, everything's a joke. To me, that told me he was saying, we have no shot. But I think over the course of that game, that first half.
Well, if they'd have gone like, up 1-0, they'd have felt pretty good.
Right.
They were up 20 in the third.
Yes, they're up 20, and he's like, oh, we had a chance. And then the next thing you know, it becomes outrage the next day, you know, when he's mad at Zsa Zsa. So, that's a tough one for me. I personally don't think they really had much of a shot.
We'll never know. But to your point about the Warriors getting complacent, it is a concern. Obviously, Steve Kerr talked about it all year last year. In a weird way, I kind of think getting DeMarcus might help with that, because even if he's not playing, just his presence around the team and they rally around his recovery potentially could shake things up a little bit. Let's say he comes back in January or December or whatever, that'll shake things up.
Well, and it gives them a challenge. You know, how does this historically dominant team incorporate another potentially dominant player, you know? And last year, as great as the Rockets were, you could argue that the toughest opponent for the Warriors during the regular season was boredom. Mm-hmm. Well, there ain't going to be boredom with, like you said, with Boogie and boredom the recovery story. Boogie's going to provide some intrigue and some entertainment. And then when he comes back, he provides a challenge that I think might solve their boredom problems.
So you're saying next February, Steve won't be handing over his clipboard in the huddles?
The opposite of boredom, hand that clipboard over to Boogie.
Post up. Drop five. So to move over to another competitor, your team, McMahon, the Rockets.
Our team.
One of his teams.
Oh. Yeah, it's ours.
Yeah,
there we go. Oh, we're sharing him. Well, we can keep him at my house.
That's fine, because I got a little ass apartment.
Michael Wright, you'll be doing Rocket stuff this year. I guess we don't see the Spurs as title contenders anymore.
I guess
they
not.
Just got an all-star.
Right. But, you know, this is the thing. They're going to be better than people think.
How many games did they win last year?
47.
What's their over-under, McMahon?
The Spurs over-under is 45 games, and they won, to his point, 47.
They won 47.
Essentially without Kawhi.
Without Kawhi.
He added an all-star in DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
And they got DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
And a young, recent lottery pick who'd been a quality backup big man.
Yes.
But they also lost Tony Parker and Kyle Anderson.
But what were they giving you?
Ginobili.
What were they giving you while they were
right.
Ginobili? I mean, now, Ginobili is a loss.
Danny Green lost.
And Danny Green.
But Danny Green, same thing.
But I'm saying, like, they won 47 games last year?
Yes.
I could see a scenario where they won more games this year.
I definitely could, just from talking to people who've been to the open gyms, stuff like that, and the things I'm hearing.
DeMar DeRozan is a really good player. I'm not saying that he's going to lead you to the promised land. I think that's been proven. That's not going to happen. But DeMar DeRozan is a good player.
But he can lead you to the playoffs.
And DeMar DeRozan, he was injured. He missed some games 2 years ago. But he's been generally healthy. You know, you can probably fairly assume that he's going to give you 75-plus games.
For sure.
And you can assume that he is going to score. The man will score.
Right.
So I actually, even though I think that the Spurs are probably farther away from winning a championship, the concept that they're going to wilt away, I just don't think is.
They're going to be a better team, I think, than people are expecting. And let me say it right now. I'll be the guy to say it right now. This year, I think, will be DeJounte Murray's coming out party. Everybody, they talk about his potential. I mean, this guy, he's got the wingspan. He's got the defense. But he has no J. But I'm hearing that he's dropping threes at open gyms like it's nothing. Like, Chip England is singing this guy's praises these days.
Well, in our NBA rank, Lonzo ranked higher than DeJounte in our NBA
not by much. He's in the 60s.
I'm just saying, I think DeJounte Murray is an underrated player.
I think
there's a lot of – now, look, Lonzo's got very special vision.
Yep.
But he's not on DeJounte Murray's level in terms
of
athleticism.
Yeah, I'm not even commenting on Lonzo as much as I'm commenting on don't sleep on DeJounte Murray, who I think has a chance to be really impactful player. And, you know, the Spurs are excited about – their other young players. You're excited about Derek White. They're excited about this guy they drafted.
Lonnie Walker.
I don't know if you can count on rookies at this point. Derek White, I think, is a second-year player. But I just think I like that over for the Spurs.
I'll put it this way. I wouldn't bet on their playoff streak ending. I think what it would be now, 22 straight years if they make it this year. 22. I think that thing keeps rolling. And to do that, I think they're going to have to win more than 45 games.
What about
games.
The Lakers' non-playoff streak?
The Lakers are making the playoffs.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. LeBron and us four would make the playoffs, even in the West.
Okay. All right. But back to the Rockets.
I'm pretty good.
I pulled my calf the last two straight weeks when I tried to play.
David's limping on a bad – it happened twice.
You came back to back weeks. Early. I came back too early. Yeah.
Also, he's got a bloodshot eye right now because he
– from getting poked in the eye. So.
That's what he says.
I was wondering what that was about, but I didn't want to ask.
You know, basketball injuries happen, man.
He's probably been hanging. Well,
I'll tell you something. If McMahon, if you missed a couple of threes.
Oh, I'm going to miss some threes.
LeBron, you're going to get the evil eye from LeBron.
Well, especially if we got to run full court. I'm missing every three.
Go ask Kevin Love how it goes. I think a lot of people focus on the guys that the Rockets lost, and that's fair. But they did re-sign Chris Paul and Clint Capella.
Yeah.
Which I knew that Paul wasn't going anywhere, and they had Capella restricted. It wasn't like that's a stunner. But they did keep them. They have their core, you know, their top four players from last year, if you include James Harden and I would say Eric Gordon is their fourth.
You could even argue P.J. Tucker, their top five players back. So P.J. Tucker is kind of the heart and soul.
So they have top five best players back. You know, there are some other, you know, they add some guys to the roster. Some of them may work out. I don't know if James Ennis will work out, but if he doesn't work out, somebody else.
They feel like dollar for dollar that
Carmelo Anthony?
That James Ennis, we'll get to that in a second. The sense I get is they do not feel like James Ennis is a drastic drop off from Trevor Ariza, who got $15 million compared to Ennis on a minimum deal. But let's get right to the Melo thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question with the Rockets. Does Carmelo Anthony help or hurt the Rockets? They are a proven, historically elite offensive team. They were before last season. They got a little bit better last season. Let's be optimistic and say Team USA Melo shows up and makes them even just a little bit better offensively. The question is, and now with their defensive guru retiring Jeff Bezdelic, losing Luke Mbamute, Ariza, the coach retiring, how drastically do they drop off defensively? Because that's where they made the major jump last year. They went in defensive efficiency from 18th, you know, mediocre, to very good, to 6th. If they drop back to mediocre defensively, does that basically forfeit any chance they have contending?
It may forfeit their chance of the number one seed.
And look, contending, do we mean do they have a chance to challenge the Warriors, which
this is sort of a double conversation because – one of the reasons Ariza and Mbamute were so valuable is because they were so good against the Warriors.
Of course, Mbamute, because of the shoulder and then, you know, the confidence coming off or the recovery of it was complete. They couldn't play him in that series. But still, the whole defensive improvement was based on this switchability scheme.
Right.
And what happened to Melo in the playoffs last year? The Jazz hunted him, and played him right off the floor.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's a double conversation. One conversation is the first 82 games.
Right.
You know, I think there's going to be – the Rockets are going to have nights where they just sail along, blow teams right out of the Toyota Center. Everybody's smiling and happy. But Melo is one of the worst defenders in the league.
Yeah.
What is he how is he going to react to being the sixth man?
That's the big conversation to start things is, number one, do they declare he's coming off the bench? Do they make it some kind of competitive thing?
I mean, they had to have had an understanding before he signed.
Well, and they haven't been firm on that. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle those questions. And then, to me, it's not only is he starting, perhaps more importantly, and he didn't handle not finishing in the playoffs with the Thunder very well. But again, you know, if you're up 5 points and there's 2 minutes left, do you want Carmelo Anthony out there for the other team to hunt possession after possession after possession wearing a neon bullseye on him?
A neon hood.
Well, the question is, though, those are all fair questions to ask, especially because we considered Carmelo as a certain type of player for so long, but he's in there at the vet minimum. I mean, isn't that worth it for the money you save? Because of the, what are your better options at this point?
The argument is the better option would have been paying Luke Mbamute the 4.3 he got from the Clippers, and keeping a guy who absolutely knew his role, mm-hmm. was a valuable defensive stopper off the bench. You know, didn't need the ball offensively, was a decent 3-point shooter. You know, you're paying minimum versus 4.3 luxury tax. It's a lot more expensive, mm-hmm. but that's the argument. And Mbamute, I would argue, had more value to the Rockets than Melo would. Daryl Morey didn't feel that way. Chris Paul didn't feel that way. And so, you know, Melo's there.
You know, they have a couple other things. You know, they got Brandon Knight. He's a full year off the – he's over a year off the torn ACL because mm-hmm. he had it in the summer last year, right? Mm. You know, he
– Michael Carter-Williams. Look, they needed depth. They needed depth at point guard because Chris Paul is not an 82 right. game. You got to manage Chris Paul throughout the regular season to give him maximum chance of being healthy for a whole playoff run, right. which obviously has been a problem for him.
So I think Houston's going to be – I still think they're going to be really, really good. And my guess is one of those guys, whether it's Melo, whether it's Brandon Knight, whether it's James Ennis, one of those guys, you know, Gerald Green, one of those guys will have a great year because that's what happens on D'Antoni teams.
Yeah.
That matter?
Where's the lowest they drop? Third, in your opinion?
I think they're going to win a ton of games. I just don't know if they're going to be a more serious competition.
Do you think they win 65 like last season?
No.
Okay.
No. I think they got worse. They got worse, but I don't think they're going to win 52. I think
I probably agree.
What about Utah? That's another one of your teams, McMahon.
Look, they are obviously betting on internal development. They pride themselves.
They basically brought their entire team back.
They
re-signed Favors.
And look, why wouldn't you want continuity when you finish a season 29-6? You get past, really convincingly beat OKC in the first round. Weren't that competitive against the Rockets, but Rubio didn't play in that series. They're hoping Donovan Mitchell, who obviously way exceeded expectations, can take a significant jump, during his sophomore year. I mean, if you look at his numbers as off the dribble jump shooter, if he can make strides there like he did as a finisher last season, then we're talking about, the first of many, many, many all-star
appearances. Well, Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs last year I argue that he was a top 10 player in the playoffs in the NBA.
Oh, and Kone's factor is completely proven at this point. Like, he had multiple 20-point playoff quarters.
Quarters. Incredible.
Dante Exum's a wild card, and a lot of people kind of
got quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that's incentive based. You know, essentially they gave him a 3-year mid-level deal plus incentives. But that's a guy who's a number 5 overall pick. You know, long, really athletic. Injuries have completely derailed his development. You've seen little flashes and glimpses. And if he can stay healthy, they feel like that's a big
Gobert
piece.
Gobert missed a lot of games.
Gobert missed, about 20, I think it was 26 games, and it was two different injuries.
The calf
and then
injury
again,
like McMahon, and what was the other one?
No. It was two different knees.
Oh, it was knees. Okay.
But again, when he got back,
I said
chipped
McMahon,
off
I
a little
meant,
bit.
I knew
so, you know.
Too many mix.
There you go. Hey, be careful now. When he got back, he chipped off a little bit of rust for a couple games, and then boom, 29-6. And as great as Donovan Mitchell was, Rudy Gobert guarantees that you will be an elite defensive team,
yep.
and I think he is a really underrated offensive player.
Also,
as a complimentary
piece. I think they've got one of the best coaches in the league.
Oh, no question. And so, great role players. I mean, Joe Ingles is a great role player. Favors has accepted his role. Jay Crowder obviously fit much better there
than he did in Cleveland. Could sneak into the 2 seed.
Yeah, I think they're definitely a home court advantage team, and if the Rockets slip and, the Jazz can stay healthy, which has been a problem for them, and, some of their young players, Royce O'Neal, another one, make strides, I think they could be a mid-50s win team.
So as I look at the West, I've got Golden State and Houston sort of as the sort of super elite there. You put the Jazz at the lead of the rest of the pack?
Yeah, and I think you have to because they spanked OKC in the first round last year, and OKC's –
So I think that's the next team that comes to mind with me. They're in that same next grouping for me.
Yeah. They had their moments last year where they were tremendous defensively, and then Roberson got hurt.
That was huge.
And who would have ever thought that Roberson would have been that valuable? You know, the Dennis Schroeder thing, it's hard to know exactly how that's going to work out. But there's no question that Schroeder is a talented player and in some ways could help them.
Especially if he really embraces that six-man role that used to be that Reggie Jackson role. And let's be honest, now that Russ is coming off this knee surgery, maybe Schroeder's role, especially early in the season, is much more significant than anybody anticipated.
The knee surgery with Russ they haven't exactly made it 100% clear what the story was, although it's the same knee he's had multiple surgeries on.
The scope, right?
And you know, I mean, anybody's listening to this podcast knows that I just don't believe in minor knee surgery. I just don't think there's such a thing as minor knee surgery.
The organization just gets a breath of fresh air, or I guess wind in their sails, better way to put it. The fact that Paul George is back there under a new deal. Grant's back there on a new deal. Like, when you get a new deal, life is better.
Well, and for Paul George, the fact that there was never any question. Free agency with Paul George wasn't a recruitment process. It was a party.
It was a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they threw a big old party.
We were watching the video last night.
You know, one thing that sort of slid under the radar is that Roberson had to have a follow-up surgery. So I'm not 100% sure where Roberson's going to be. But
shout out to his uncle, by the way. His uncle Vic is my barber.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I get all the Roberson scoops from my barber, man. It's great.
Really? He can't fill in on the corners a little bit somehow?
Name your sources.
Damn. This is a podcast.
I will say this. I was talking to Law Mary, one of our ESPN.com editors. Patella injuries. Name a guy who's come back strong from one. It's hard to do. I mean, it's affected big men, Andrew Bynum, Greg Oden.
Yeah, I mean, Caron Butler was never the same. Now, he was further along in his career, but
that was a hellacious moment when he went down.
Bynum. Yeah.
No, Bynum, yes.
Now, Butler, walking off the floor in front of a hometown crowd. Wisconsin native.
I'm saying Roberson injury was just terrible to watch. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
none of those patellas are fun to watch. Right.
I
suppose Sean Livingston would count as a patella because of every single part of his knee.
Yeah, well, I was at the Garden when Baron Davis's career. He blew his patella on the court. So, typically it's been older players.
And he's the difference between the Thunder being a good defensive team and a bad defensive team. I mean, it's that simple.
They just struggled so much. And that was another guy that the Rockets picked up, Corey Brewer, who I'll say. You know, that guy could help him too every now and then. But they struggled so much to replace him, you know. So a team that was really hot last year, I covered them in the playoffs a little bit, and they just blew me away how awesome they looked, was the Pelicans.
Yeah. Yes. They had some significant losses.
Yes. Right. So like on one hand, they had three players in the top 50 in our rank. Mirotić snuck in the top 50.
They were great after they got him.
They had a vision about how they were going to play. You know, Gentry got him playing up tempo. They defended like banshees on the perimeter, and Anthony Davis back there playing alongside Mirotić. I mean, it spread the floor. It just set him up really nicely. They come in with a lot of momentum, but obviously, okay, Boogie. You know, they made a business decision on Boogie. Yeah. I get it, a lot of their role players changed out, and you know they just signed Jarrett Jack, but they're relying on Elfrid Payton.
Going from Rajon Rondo to Elfrid Payton, to me, from a leadership and basketball IQ standpoint, Rondo was such a critical part, really an extension of the coaching staff.
Well, Payton's really never done anything.
Right. And a guy all those young guys trusted. And it's funny because, I obviously covered Rondo in Dallas, and him and Rick Carlisle clashed about everything, but one of them was Rondo wouldn't play as up-tempo as Rick wanted. Whereas last year in New Orleans, Rondo was the guy who really got them running. Great rebounder, great, and not just pushing the ball, but making the pass ahead. You know, with Drew Holiday in the backcourt with him, that worked out so much better than I anticipated. Drew Holiday in the playoffs against Portland proved, he is legit one of the best two-way guards in the league.
He was phenomenal. Well, he's great defensively the entire season, but he was really good against the Blazers. They go out and get Julius Randle. I don't know about that fit. they took advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. It was a bad market for restricted free agents. The Lakers were clearing cap space. They got Randall for a lot less than Randall probably ever thought he'd play for. So they, I think from a value standpoint, they did well. You know,
what fit.
Dell Demps and his staff, you know, they've done a good job on player personnel the last couple of years. Like the Rondo move ended up being a great move. The Miricic trade was arguably the best in-season trade last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant trade.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys kind of know what, like, I kind of am going to defer to that front office. They're kind of on a winning streak.
I like the Randall fit with him coming off the bench because I think ultimately that's what he is. He's a bucket-getting sixth man. He can be that undersized center playing with Miritich stretching the floor, or he can play with Davis, and Davis, you know, who prefers to be a power forward anyway, can play power forward with him. I feel like they've got three guys at that 4-5 position. They've got a superstar, a really good player in Miritich, and like I said, you know, obviously flawed defensively guy in Randall, but they're bucket getting rebound and getting sixth man now. And
they're just a hard team to kind of plug. Could they finish third or fourth? I mean, yeah, what's their over under?
46.
Yeah, and again, to me, going from Rondo to Payton,
yeah,
that's a big one.
That is a big one. Look, Payton is well on his way to becoming a journeyman. And you could say the same about Rondo, but Rondo
he's kind of a journeyman now. He's played for three teams in the last year.
Right. Rondo fits so well in New Orleans, and I think was just so important to really boosting the confidence of some of those guys around him just because they felt so prepared. They felt like they, you know, had a major advantage in terms of intelligence on the floor with him.
And we haven't even mentioned Jrue Holiday yet, who was their second best player in the playoffs, and the impact on not having a Rondo as a teammate, and whether that was minutes, whether that was what he learned from him as a professional, and can he replicate that super high level basketball he'd really never done in the NBA before.
They were just playing so well at the end of the season. So well. It was, I've seen this kind of happen in the past and teams try to carry it over. And
yeah.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, it's a Western Conference pod, but that's the Sixers. That's the question about the Sixers.
I mean, they were playing so well, they were playing so fast and so fun. When they got Miritich, it just freed them up to play the kind of basketball that Alvin Gentry is always wanted to play.
The funny thing is, you know, part of the deal was on Miritich, you know, was whether to guarantee that this year of the contract.
And
they sort of went back and forth on that. And, like, they decided real quick, boy, it's a good thing we guaranteed it. We didn't want to have to sign him. So the team that they beat in the playoffs, the Blazers, you know, on one hand, they finished third. Now, being third in the West last year wasn't like, because what was the spread between third and eighth?
A game, two games?
Yeah, it was very close.
So it wasn't like, oh, my God, they finished, you know, they were at, like, the photo finish. But, hell, they were third. And they, in my mind, did not get better this offseason.
No, and they're a very trendy pick to fall out of the playoffs.
They lost Ed Davis. Other than that, they're pretty static, right?
Yeah, they re-signed Nurkic to a decent deal. It wasn't Myers Leonard money.
I just wonder if it's time to, you know, next offseason, is it finally time to just break that team up?
Well, like, it's no secret that everybody's keeping an eye on Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a handful of stars that potentially could be changing teams next year as free agents, and you know, I think right now, and again, by the time this pod runs, there could be changes in Minnesota, but I think people are watching Karl Anthony Towns,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're watching Damian Lillard.
Right. Now, Towns / Butler, like, obviously, Minnesota ain't big enough for both of them.
But, like, maybe everything will be fine. Maybe the Blazers will be fine and Lillard will be happy. And by the way, Lillard, I think, has 3 years left on his contract. He doesn't have a lot of, if he wants to try to force his way out, he doesn't have a lot of, you know.
Right, but he also had the midseason meeting with Paul Allen, which is something that doesn't happen up there.
So that's a team to watch to see what happens. I mean, they're obviously still pretty talented, but they're not. You know, this was a summer where you hoped they would have gotten better, and I don't feel like.
Well, and they also have to deal with the fallout of getting swept again in the playoffs, and this wasn't the Warriors they got swept by. This was the people were surprised they made the playoffs. Pelicans. You know, and that's not taking away from the Pelicans. Obviously, we're playing really, really good basketball.
They just totally outclassed them.
Again, they just completely dominated that
series. And it's amazing, you know, you play so hard for so long, and you know they ended up having a good finish because they finished third, and then like you have a bad week and it changes your entire outlook.
So if they're ripe to fall out, or let's potentially they could fall out, and we're saying the Lakers are going to make it. Is that the only change we see?
Nuggets over the team turmoil Timberwolves.
Over Timberwolves.
So the Nuggets, they had a relatively active offseason, although they didn't change their core that much. But they added a whole bunch of money to their payroll, and so they had to offload money. So they dumped Wilson Chandler, who is a serviceable player, but mm-hmm. On some of the rankings, not just our rankings, but SI's rankings and some other rankings, Jamal Murray is way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Gary Harris is already. So you look at Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. I mean, that's a pretty good perimeter right there.
Then you go Millsap, who missed a lot of time last year, who's really talented, getting older. But
Obviously Jokic is one of the most productive players. There's defensive deficiencies, and he's not necessarily always on the same page.
He's probably got Will Barton. Starting
right
with that five, and you know, Will has his limitations in some sense, but he's also a great scorer and really good in the open court.
Yeah, and I think it's can be dangerous to kind of assume production and or improvement and development mm-hmm. from young players, but that's a baby core with Jokic, Gary Harris, and Jamal Murray. I mean, you know, tell me a team that's got three better under 25 players.
Probably Boston, but outside.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's a short list, is my point.
But
Boston's got like eight better under 20. Yeah.
There's also, Mike Malone is on the last year of his contract, and there's some expectation there. I mean, this is a team that is not known for wanting to spend money, okay, mm-hmm. putting it kindly. And they have now invested a lot of money. So they are expecting this to transition from a team of expectation to a team of reality, a team of
delivery. Right. They have steadily improved, but then to not make – when you got a win or get in game, last game of the regular season, and you don't make the playoffs.
It was a great game, though. I mean, it wasn't like they got blown out. I mean, it went to overtime.
Right, but it's a playoffs or bust season, to say the least, for the Nuggets.
It's also a maybe career or bust season for Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And that's going to be a fascinating mm-hmm. dynamic. Yeah. You know, can he be – to me, at this point, the hope for him is he's Nick Van Exel. You know, he is that
– that ain't bad.
That mm-hmm. gunner – and he's left-handed too, so it's, now he's about – I don't know.
Van Exel played for the Nuggets.
Yes, he did. but can he be that big cojones bucket getter off the bench?
Well, he's got cojones. He's still a bucket getter. I mean, remember – he had surgery.
Yeah.
So he did, you know, I watched him work out a little bit in the Team USA. He didn't play, mm-hmm. but he was working out afterwards. And that was in July, late July. It's a while ago, but he was not ready for prime time at that time. So we'll see. I mean, not only is he dealing with the hip issue, but he's now dealing with the surgery. So he's very confident, but the problem is he doesn't have any credibility on this because he was very confident last year.
I was going to say confidence has never been the issue.
Yeah, but they got him on the minimum, you know. It is what he is. I mean, you know, I think when you got a minimum player, if the guy helps you win.
It's a bargain.
Three or four games in the regular season and one playoff game, okay, he is delivered on. I mean, we're talking about it's the same thing I talk about Carmelo. They're paying him the minimum. I mean, yes, they'd like Carmelo to be a contributor who helps them significantly. But at the end of the day, you're paying the minimum for a reason. With few exceptions, when a guy's on a minimum, he's on a minimum because, you know, nobody else wants to give him
Right, but every year there's guys on minimums who greatly outperform.
Sure. Jeff Green won a game – or helped win a game 7 in Boston for the Cavs last year on a minimum.
Yeah, and completely verified his contract. It was game 7.
Yep.
Now, interestingly, a lot of times, Jeff Green being an example, you know, you'll see these vets who have accomplished something who are minimums, Carmelo Anthony, they're on minimums to contenders because they're ring hunting. You know, while the Nuggets certainly expect to contend for a playoff spot, he's on a minimum to Denver because there weren't any other teams mm-hmm. dangling minimum offers
That's
for
very
him.
True.
So let's go through a couple of other teams. We'll end with Minnesota, but let's your Mavericks, McMahon, obviously made the major move for Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm. Finally got DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan for less money on a make good, kind
but,
of.
But still, especially in this market, a lot of money, 23 mil.
Yeah, yeah. But who else are they going to give it to?
Right. And so, you know, there's two goals. Develop the foundation for the future and be competitive in what's probably Dirk's last season. And DeAndre kind of fits both of those because you wanted that. You want to have that lob threat to kind of maximize the development of Luka Doncic and Dennis Smith Jr. And look, Luka, his arrival, what I've been told is, you know, our guy Mike Schmitzel will be the first to tell you this. You know, he's kind of a classic Euro conditioning guy, which means none at all. You know, he doesn't eat great. You know, he enjoys life.
Is he like an 80s Euro guy? Does he smoke cigarettes?
I don't believe he smokes. But he wasn't in Dallas from, you know, the time they left for Vegas for summer league, which he didn't play in because they wanted to give him a rest after winning all those Euro championships a long season. And then he didn't get back until after Labor Day. Got back, wasn't in great shape by NBA standards, and was dominating pickup games. I mean, you know,
the guy knows how to play. That's not a question.
They truly believe in terms of passing forwards in the league, there's LeBron and probably Luka.
Wow. You know,
they think he is that special of a passer. They think he's an above average shooter.
Even the greatest rookies ever, they don't always impact wins.
Right, but
like Donovan Mitchell is an outlier in that regard.
No question.
True.
So, but even he, like the Jazz had a really good team.
But, you know, he's an NBA rookie. He's a seasoned professional.
Okay. I'm just saying that what's their over-under?
Their over-under is
34.5, which happens to be the exact same as the Memphis Grizzlies, which is interesting to me because if I was going to choose either roster, I'd go Dallas.
I would too.
By a landslide.
Well, I go Dallas because Dallas has young guys you like. I'm not even in this season.
Oh,
you like Jaren Jackson Jr. And look, does Conley stay healthy? Does Gasol stay healthy? I mean, you know.
I thought the Grizzlies had a nice offseason because I think Jaren Jackson's going to be a guy who helps him right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's got NBA-ready skills. He's a big who defends, and he can stretch.
Where was that at Michigan State?
The problem is he has to play the four.
He got a body,
starting lineup there.
He disappeared on the court. I know you don't watch a lot of college basketball, but.
Well, I watched video on him, and I can see the skills that he translates. I'm not saying he's going to go out and average 18 and 12, mm-hmm. but I think he will help them win games starting from the start.
Okay.
They made a couple of nice
Kyle moves. Anderson, that's a
they
starting
They stole caliber. Garrett Temple, nice because one, yeah. We're not even going to talk about the Kings, because their offseason was so bewildering, and their pick is owed to the Celtics.
Their last two decades have been so bewildering.
I know, but even especially. But they got Garrett Temple.
Years.
What do you think about Kyle Anderson?
He's a really sneaky good player. He really is. Because he does so much that you don't happen to see because it's so slow.
He is slow.
It's so slow.
He's a brother with deceptive athleticism, which you don't hear very often.
That's true.
You know, I joke with him about that all the time. I'm like, what's it like to be an athlete called unathletic your whole career, you know?
Right. And he's like 6'7" with like he's not like 6'1". I mean, he's got good size.
Right. And he's got a lot of length, which really helps him on the defensive end, but also the smarts, you know, his intelligence helps him a lot.
Oh, I think part of the thing is he's just got that really slow, ugly jump shot.
And that Euro step. Oh.
I feel like he ought to be left-handed because he's crafty. That's a lefty word. Crafty.
But when you look at the Grizzlies, they get Mike Conley back. I talked to Conley at Team USA, and he was not cleared for full contact yet, 7 months off surgery. It was a little bit, but he felt like he was going to be good. I think the optimism is going to be good. And they added what I think are three good role players. So they're going to be they're going to win a lot of games. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team.
Here's the problem. I think they've got this. If somehow you could get Memphis and Dallas in the Eastern Conference, they're contending for playoff spots. Yeah, in the West, they're contending for like 11th and 12th.
I think the point is when you look at Memphis, and you look at Memphis as a road game, that's going to be a tough game to win. And Memphis is going to come out west at times, and they're going to come into places and win.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they're going to be a team that is going to impact the West, but not necessarily be a significant team. I think Dallas feels the same way. Andrew Hahn completely disagrees.
Andrew the Hammer Hahn.
My hot take is that Portland and Memphis will both make the playoffs.
Whoa.
Well, you love Memphis. Because of why?
Conley and Gasol is pretty much an automatic 42 wins if they're healthy. And then, like you said, I like Jaren Jackson to contribute right away.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see how Jackson and Gasol fit together, because ultimately I think Jackson's going to be best playing center.
It's a team like Memphis that makes me just have a little bit of a pause with the, with when people just say Lakers are going to make the playoffs.
Well, I was going to say, so Han is not, you not have the Lakers in the playoffs.
Correct.
Wow.
But he's got the Clippers winning 63 games.
Too, right? Yeah. Where's your, what's
we
the,
haven't actually mentioned the Clippers.
What's
yet.
The Clippers over under?
It's 36.5.
Over under, Han.
Under.
Excuse me, 36.
Look at you.
You got to look at the bold.
Yeah, I got you.
And by the way, Memphis, you said 34.
They went down.
That's where they went down to 33.
I was looking at the left.
You know, the Clippers are, again, the Clippers are going to be a team that can win any night, but will lose a lot.
Are the Clippers trying to win?
The Clippers are trying to be competitive. They want, I think one of the things that Steve Ballmer has set forth in that organization is we want to have good, positive seasons, which is another way of saying we're not going to tank. So they intend to compete. They intend to try to win. They know that they don't have premium talent right now. They have big aspirations for the future. You know, part of their moves with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and everything were to protect, I think, Andrew's like $50 million in space next summer.
They got rid of Bruce Bowen.
They added Lee Jenkins.
That's right. It's in the transactions. Bruce Bowen gone, Lee Jenkins in. So, I mean, they have high aspirations, but I think they're gonna put their foot down. Also, there's a lot of excitement about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And talking about our draft guy, Mike Schmitz, he thinks Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be a freaking stud.
Definitely got a great name.
Now, I do not watch a lot of college basketball. I am not a draft guy. I did watch film on him. You know, I certainly saw some positive stuff. I will yield to the guys who know, but the guys who know say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be not only a potential impact rookie and a dark horse for Rookie of the Year. That's what some of the people think. But could be so good as a rookie that he becomes an instantaneous trade asset that they could, although I don't know why they would trade him.
Right.
If they've got the cap space. But the point is,
yeah, I know the Cavs really struggled with that decision, with Sexton and Alexander.
Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander refused to work out for them.
But they liked him. I mean, the guys that
right,
went off.
Right.
Jaren Jackson Jr. refused to work out for Memphis.
Right.
What are you going to do? Sit out the season?
Right.
All right, let's talk about the Wolves here at the end.
Oh, man.
Wait, you're not going to say anything about Phoenix?
Oh, Phoenix.
We did mention Ayton as a good center, but yeah, that's all we said.
Devin Booker has hand surgery, and was going to be their point guard. So,
which is interesting in and of itself.
There is some interest there, and again, we're dating this podcast a little bit, but they have some interest in Patrick Beverley if they could acquire him in a way.
Can I say a Devin Booker story without necessarily like knowing all the details? So it's maybe not fair, but I judge this guy because I love his
aggregation
skill set.
Aggregation warning.
They played in Cleveland last year. It was a Friday night game on ESPN. How many games did the Suns play last year that mattered? Very few,
many,
right?
Yeah.
He had, I think, hurt his wrist a game or two before the Cavs game. But I watched him go through his full pregame warm-up, had a wrap on his wrist, whatever. He could play. He could play basketball. He has a good chance to play LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, on the road, great environment, Friday night, national TV game. And from my understanding, it was his call whether he wanted to go or not, and he said no. I'm always going to judge him.
I wonder about
until
that.
Until he actually wins.
Because, I don't know, and he has been the face of a tanking franchise.
Oh, he's the face of it. They gave him a max contract.
Yeah. And I don't know, man.
They've
got a culture problem there that, you know, Igor, and I'm going to struggle with the pronunciation of his last name, but a guy who did a great job as a Jazz assistant coach, did a great job as Slovenia national team's coach. You know, he's got to come in there. And he's got to come in there and change the culture that is completely deteriorated with their tank in the last few years.
Their Ariza signing was very interesting. They gave him $15 million. That is not a move for a team that thinks that it's still tanking. But I don't see this team – I think if this team finishes 11th or 12th, they would have done
a good job. You say they're better than the Kings, and then
we're not gonna
who
talk
else
about
in the West?
The Kings will do well – to not have the worst record. Not necessarily because the Hawks are going to be a worse team, but the Kings play in the West.
So. Well, the Hawks are trying to lose, and the Kings, unless they get the number one overall pick, owe it.
Okay, Minnesota, real quick. McMahon.
Phew. I mean, nobody's surprised by – and look, like I said, this is going to be data. There's going to be developments with Jimmy Butler probably by the time this gets published. But, I mean, you could see this thing coming for months. And I covered the Rockets-Timberwolves series. I was stunned seeing just how dysfunctional that thing looked and
felt. They finally made the playoffs. 13 years they waited for so long. And their momentum, they got the win over Denver, and they got to celebrate. And their momentum lasted like 2 days.
And it's Tibbs guys versus non-Tibbs guys. And now the ultimate Tibbs guy, Butler, you know, let's see what happens there. He might be trying to jump off
the
boat. The
thing about it is Butler is a very valuable player, and he is great for them.
Yeah.
If they lose him, they're going to get worse.
Yeah, and the only reason they almost missed the playoffs is because he missed all that time.
And he rushed back from a surgery. He had a meniscus surgery. He treated it like a 2002 meniscus surgery where he came back like in 4 weeks, like Ron Artest met a world peace.
When he played for the Lakers, it was less than 2 weeks.
And then had a wrist injury that he played with for most of that.
He had another surgery in the offseason on his hand or wrist. I can't remember. I think they said it was his hand. But he's had two surgeries in the last 6 months.
And look, the Karl Anthony Towns thing there, like Tibbs and Towns is so passive-aggressively toxic, and obviously Butler's is part of that.
And I don't think Wiggins is – everything's all happy there because Wiggins' Wiggins's role diminished dramatically. Even though he got paid, his role diminished dramatically.
I just think there's so much internal resentment and dysfunction that I don't see how they match what they did last season.
And what is the future for – go ahead.
Tibbs is probably get fired.
Yeah.
What's the future for Butler, though? I mean, obviously we – admire how tough he is playing through injuries. He can play both sides of the basketball. But the last locker room he left in Chicago was a mess.
Yeah.
The locker room he's in Minnesota right now is a mess. And will whatever future team that will trade for him or sign for him, will they take that into consideration?
All I'm going to say is he had a $100 million extension on the table this year. He turned it down.
Well, but that was a wise financial move.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Because probably he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But guys who played their guys who played their whole career for Tibbs, how do they do in their 30s?
Well, Luol Deng got paid at least. Well, so did Joakim Noah.
You know what? They all did get paid. It was they were mistakes, but they all did get paid.
Right now, that might be used against Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but like the Bulls, I will say this: like the Bulls were experts at getting off of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like they said goodbye to Noah at the right time. They said goodbye to Deng at the right time.
And Butler, hey, look. If Markkanen's as good as I think he's going to be, yeah, you can argue about whether they should have played.
That trade is amazing.
I mean, or not, but Markkanen's going to be a stud.
Right.
The other thing about that trade is Justin Patton was in that trade.
And he can't.
And he's broken his foot three times. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, on draft night, the Bulls were getting roasted.
Yeah.
For that.
And it looks really good,
I mean, depending on what Levine is.
Right.
Yeah. But so what's the over-under for the Wolves?
Minnesota Timberwolves
45.
Are at,
45.
Yeah.
What are they? What are they open at?
44.5.
44.
So it's
and
going
half.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. They won 47 last year, and again, I mean, we'll see what the fallout is from these meetings with Butler. But man, it's just such a toxic environment.
One of the
right
things
now.
About it is like you know how all these sort of playoff level teams, a lot of them they get together. You know, they get together in the Bahamas or San Diego or L.A. I didn't see any.
Jimmy Butler and Jimmy Butler hadn't been back to
KD,
Minnesota.
You just get together, and you're on different teams, and you let everyone wonder what you're going to do in summer 2019.
Right. I didn't see any. I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm just saying I didn't see any social media activity of Wolves off-season guys.
Surprisingly enough, that's one of LeBron's thing, and the Cavs carried it on without LeBron doing it, without him being on Cleveland.
Where'd they go? I didn't see that.
The Cavs went to Miami. Oh, Kevin Love organized it. I was told that there's no plan for the Lakers to do it this year, which I found to be a little interesting.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this Western Conference preview pod. I guess it was a preview pod. But I don't like it. I would have rather had it.
Well, at least you didn't make any predictions, Wendy.
No, I won't, and I won't. I made some predictions about the Wolves 2 years ago, and I lived or read it.
I predict that I'll get you to make a prediction at some point this season.
I predict that you're probably right. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective, and we'll have more content coming up soon.